Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get unbeatable flavor and value delivered right to your door. They have an unmatched selection of perfectly portioned proteins, including USDA certified tender, steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. All flash frozen at their moment of peak quality. Then quickly delivered to your door in a dependable cooler. So a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast. Omaha Steaks practically invented meat delivery, and they've been perfecting the art of premium proteins for over 100 years. With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can order with complete confidence. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference, a better, more convenient way to buy proteins. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Moncrief on News Talk.
There's a French cathedral built around 1,000 years ago that's had a bit of work done, and not everyone is happy with it. A porch has been added. It's been likened to a UFO or a wart. Rob Curley is director of Marimoto Architects. Rob, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Sean.
Could you tell us a bit about this cathedral and why they added this extension onto it anyway?
So the cathedral in Angers in France dates back to originally the 12th and 13th century. It has this Romanesque front with a large ornate stained glass window below which originally the cathedral had a covered canopy. That canopy burned down in 1807. And during some restoration works in 2009, they discovered underneath that canopy, there was this original painted stonework over the entrance doors. During that time, they found out that they couldn't assemble enough original material of that 13th century canopy. So they went out and they set up an invited competition. They went and got some world-class architects, including Japanese architect Kengo Kuma, who ultimately won this competition for the new porch or wart or UFO, depending on your opinion.
But part of the function of this was to protect this stonework that had been discovered because, as I understand it, that's quite rare. It has the original colour.
Correct. The stonework is in a painted tympanum, which is a word I learned there recently doing this research. But ultimately, I think the irony of this controversy is that this porch itself is it's a series of arches, and they're inspired by that original Romanesque stained glass window above the entrance door. Obviously, the Romanesque style dates back to the Roman Empire, and we have this image of cathedrals, you know, as these quite austere stone. In this case, it's a very lovely white stone building. But that original Roman style of those Roman temples would have been themselves riots of colour. And now we have this very muted porch edition, which is doing what a good conservation approach is, which is to contrast with the original and not pretend to be part of it. But it is protecting this last remnant of the riot of colour.
Yeah, okay. So but it does look quite different to the original building. And I suppose that, you know, that's part of the objections people have to it.
Well, that is, it's a good point. And I think it comes down to maybe the public perception of building conservation and what's right versus maybe the academic agreement on the what's the correct approach. And this goes back to, I think the Venice Charter in 1990 on building conservation makes a pretty clear statement on this, which is that new interventions in older structures should create some element of contrast so that it's clearly identifiable what's new and what's old.
Yeah.
In this case, the architect's approach is to do something that is inspired by that original architecture, but not pretend to be of the 12th or 13th century original.
Yeah. Though it looks kind of, when I first saw it, I thought the new structure looks vaguely Islamic.
I suppose it maybe looks a little bit like if you think of the mosques and the arch, the mosque of Cordoba in Spain, which ironically has a cathedral similar to the one we're looking at imposed right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So this idea of these clashing or contrasting forms and styles working together, I think we also need to look at how this is experienced spatially. So this architect, Kengo Kuma, he has a particular philosophy around architecture called the anti-object. So going back to this point of, we view the cathedral maybe, and we view architecture generally as the exterior of the building. The building is an object. Mm. The house has four walls and a roof. Architecture in reality is experienced spatially. And what Kuma tries to do with his philosophy of the anti-object is break down that notion that architecture is an object that we're looking at. Instead, it's a series of spaces that we, as you know, humans at our scale, experience.
Yeah.
And I think with this particular one, the jury will have to come back when, you know, people can go and visit and have that spatial experience.
Yeah, because I think the official, the official launch is today. But is that philosophy really that it's more inside the building that's important than outside?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. And so we don't know what it looks like on the inside.
Exactly. I would agree with you that when I first saw the renders of this project as well, this looked like quite a heavy block that's been dropped right in front of blocking almost the church. When looking into a little more detail, you can see that this structure is actually made up of quite thin layers of a concrete mixed with that local white stone. So materially, it's blending with the color of the church. But those thin layers are really worked in such a way that as you move around this object, that sense of weight is going to dissolve. And when you get into it, it's all about experiencing that original front painted tympanum and the painted stonework.
Mm.
Also to note, I suppose, is that with this design, they've managed to conserve the original outline of that earlier canopy, which was destroyed. So therefore, they're not rewriting or overriding the experience of that. But instead, we're seeing what's called a palimpsest of the different, you know, the different interventions in the church.
Mm.
So while standing in this new 2026 construction, you'll be able to read the remnants of the 13th century canopy, which is, you know, not with this for 200 years now.
Yeah. Though, as we were saying, it does seem to be controversial there. But there are numerous examples of pieces of architecture in this country as well that are controversial. Is that because people don't understand architecture? Or on the other hand, let me phrase it another way. If you have to explain the architecture, hasn't the architecture failed?
I think having to experience architecture is slightly different to having to explain. Because I think many people would agree that often when something very contemporary in nature is first built, it is going to be contrasting with what's come before. And people are inherently evolutionarily, you know, afraid of change.
Mm.
And so I think when we see something that is clearly contrasting and it is clearly different, our natural instinct at first is probably a little bit of revulsion.
Yeah.
And then over time, I think when you look at the level of detail, when you look at, say, maybe the innovation within the structure, that's maybe an early indication that in 50, 100 years' time, this is going to be a classic.
Yeah.
If we look at the Eiffel Tower, for example, it was seen as being imposed on Paris. People were looking forward to it being gone at the end of the World's Fair. There's no better example of a piece of architecture that's, you know, was ahead of its time.
Though, I mean, interesting to say that, like, what used to be the Sam Stevenson Central Bank building, and, you know, a lot of people hated it, but they'd never been inside it. So most people would experience that kind of streetscape from the outside rather than the inside.
I think another great example in Dublin is Phibsworth Shopping Centre. Like, if we look at this, it's an example of what happened in this city all throughout the 1950s, 60s, 70s, where what we now see, you know, the Georgian buildings and our period buildings, which are often seen as quite emblematic of the city, these were seen as some kind of colonial leftover that people really had little regard for. And the new, you know, concrete and brutalism was the style of the time. I think Phibsborough is still in that line between, would it have been better if it had never been built? Sure, but would the Victorian shops have been preserved? Probably not. And at the same time, it now serves as one of few examples of brutalism in the city.
Yeah. Is it possible to say that some buildings are just objectively ugly?
Well, I think that's fair.
But then again, you'll always, particularly those kind of brutalist structures, they kind of feel cold and they're, as you say, they're like, there's only really one of them in Dublin. But there's a lot of buildings around Ireland where there's that kind of green cladding that changes colour. And I don't know, did somebody buy a cheap lot of it? It just seems to be everywhere.
Well, I think it depends on, like, the nature of materials, and architecture in general is very often led by economics.
Yeah.
Architecture ultimately is a tool of capital. So, you know, you may have the best design and the best intentions, But then by the time you get to your final choice of cladding, there's probably a little bit of work being done with the QS here to get something that's going to make it over the line.
Yeah, yeah. Rob, thanks a million for coming into us today. That was Rob Curdy there. He's director of Maori Motor Architects.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry: if something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through Geico, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aw, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.